sermon this evening comes from Ephesians chapter 4. I'll start the reading with verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you do not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we approach your word, that you would be glorified in our thinking, that we will think rightly, that we will behave rightly, that we will love rightly, loving you first and loving others well. Help us as we approach your word so that we will see truth and that the shadows that we have held and nurtured in our hearts, the lies that we have embraced, that they would be destroyed. That we would know what is right, that we would know what is good, that we would know what is true for you and for your name's sake. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Our family has done quite a bit of traveling, and are we there yet is a common question. The answer for me has always simply been no, 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 no. No, we are not there yet. And the question would change. Are we almost there? And I would say, no, 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 no. And the question would change again. Are we close? And my answer would be no, 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 no. But my wife has come up with a fantastic answer. Her answer is, we are closer. And this, for some reason, seems to satisfy the small minds. We are closer, this idea that we are making some progress. As we looked at this full scope of this passage, and as we talked about it last week, there was this process in mind that we're taking off the old and putting on the new. The old man, the one who lived and dwelt in darkness, is being taken off, being exchanged for a new man. Being recreated in true holiness. Being recreated in the image of Christ. Question, are you there yet? No. Are you close? Probably not. But are you closer? Are you closer? Are you in the process? See, this has given hope to our children because some progress is being made as we move along. And we are never to be in a place where No, we're not there yet, and no, we're not any closer than we were yesterday. We're not any closer than we were last week. We're not any closer than we were a decade ago. But there is to be this continuous progress in us, getting closer to the likeness and the image of God. Now, as we look here, we see a specific area. That specific area that we're dealing with now as we put on the new man is in the area of our speech. This is something particular about humans. The way that we communicate, us being created in the image of God, is a special thing, and it's given us the ability to communicate like no other creature on earth, because you are image of God. You share deep thoughts. You share deep ideas. You communicate with one another. And we are to be spurring one another on in love and good deeds as we speak to one another. And we see here something very striking, that you are to let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification, that is building someone up, according to the need of the moment, so that it'll give grace to those who hear. How often is that the case in our lives? If you thought back about your conversations today, how much of that was about building people up according to the specific need of the moment, so that you gave grace to those who hear? If we think back about the past few days, back about the last week, how much of our conversation was about building people up to give grace to them so they will be drawn closer to Christ? I've come into contact with people like this, and they are rare. In fact, they make me a little bit uncomfortable as they are going to say these things that are pointed, and to say these things that are directed to change me and make change in me to cause me to grow. But this is exactly who we are to be. So much of our time is wasted. So much of our conversation is wasted. When as image of God, you're called upon to do this. So the call for you this evening is simply for you to share everything that's edifying. Share everything that's edifying. Share everything that's going to build someone up, to spur them on in love and good deeds, to cause them to be who they're supposed to be. Now, our first step on this journey is for you to commit to speaking the truth. Look with me at verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. I've enjoyed asking people, what is truth? As we would all claim to love it, as we would all claim to cling to it. What is truth? I had a youth group at one point, and I just threw that out. What is truth? And we weren't going anywhere, and we weren't going to do the activity that we're supposed to do until they each gave me a definition of truth. And they just sat there and scratched their heads. They had no idea what truth actually is, or how to express what truth is. Well, I simply say that truth is the expression of reality, declaring what really is, so that people can have a right understanding of reality, a right understanding of the world that God has made. You see, Satan is the one who gives perversions of truth, who twists what is real and gives false ideas about it. So people are moved away from God as their thinking does not line up with reality. Now, you come into contact with people every single day who are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, who are suppressing reality, the reality of God's kingdom, the reality of Christ, the reality of God's dominion on the earth. They suppress it. They deny it. And as we work and labor with one another, we are supposed to be giving one another truth. The expressions of reality, so that our minds are renewed, so that our minds are brought into submission to reality, and that we don't live in dark fantasy. And that's what everyone's sin is. Everyone's sin is dark fantasy. As we would think that we could give ourselves some comfort apart from God's law, as we would think that we could give ourselves something good apart from God's truth, dark fantasy. But we must be committed to the expressions of reality as God has declared it, so that we move one another on in love and good deeds, so that we build one another up. It's interesting that it brings this dimension to it at the end of verse 25, for we are members of one another. If you allow me to wallow in my sin, if you allow me to accept lies that if I continue in this, I will be comfortable, I will be happy, I will find joy, you are not only damaging me, you are damaging yourself because I am a member of you. If you allow your loved ones to continue in sin without expressing the reality of the situation, you're serving a lie. And you're serving the father of lies. John 8:44, when Jesus rebuked the Sadducees and the Pharisees, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father." Now keep in mind here, this is really harsh talk. This is harsh. You imagine telling someone, "You're of your father the devil," looking them in the eyes and meaning it. You are of your father the devil. And keep in mind here that Christ loved perfectly. He loved the Father perfectly, and he loved everyone he came into contact with perfectly. So these are actually the most loving words that he could say to these people at this time, as he's giving them the truth and displaying reality for them. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So do you understand there that any time you are lying, any time that you are not dealing in the truth, you are lining yourself up with Satan, the father of lies, who desires to distort reality to move people away from Christ. This is why we must be people wholeheartedly committed to the truth, committed to these expressions of reality. Revelation 12:9. "And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Deception, moving people away from reality and truth, or moving people towards them. Lies move people away from the truth. So we must commit to speaking the truth. Our next step, get your heart right towards people. This is in terms of taking off the old man and putting on the new. We see this passage here in verse 26. "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." I challenge you to take this literally. Take this literally. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. As you would look at yourself and as you would be infuriated by people, as you would be infuriated by injustice and crimes committed against you, as you would be infuriated by neglect or whatever it is, betrayal, we are not given the option to remain bitter. We have not been given the option to stay where we are. Verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. This is a hard thing. This is a hard thing. And I had found myself in the place in different times in my life where I was made aware that I was holding on to bitterness. I was holding on to wrath. There were people that I was angry at. There were institutions that I was angry at. But the Scripture tells us we do not have the luxury and the right to cling to our bitterness and cling to our anger. Part of the way that we deal with this is looking at Psalm 51, for example, where we confess in our sins that against you and you only, O God, have I sinned. George Scipione put it this way. He said, if you want judgment, if you want to be angry about somebody, if you want to judge somebody for their crimes against you, you have to get in line. If someone has sinned against you and you want to be mad, you have to get in line. You have to get in line first, at least behind God, the Father. Because first they have sinned against Him. And He is the judge. And He says, leave room for my judgment. It's not for you to do. God is their judge. God is their judge. God is their judge. And He will do a much better job of wrath and justice than you could ever muster, than you could ever dish out. And even from that place, our hearts should swell with compassion for them. As God's cup is held, ready to be poured out on them. So let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all malice be put away as you put on the new man. Next, verse 27 is a frightening passage for me. Do not give the devil an opportunity. I'm going to back up and read verse 26 again. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Satan gives me the creeps. He scares me. There are a few things in life that's more disturbing than something that was made and created one way, then has been perverted and been distorted into something else. I've told before about how C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, how Mr. Beaver was talking about things you had to watch out for there in Narnia. And he said, watch out for things that look like they were once human, but aren't anymore. And look out for things that look like they're not human, but are trying to be. And when I read that, it just made my skin crawl. We see the special effects on TV that are disturbing and scary as people are distorted and made into something else. And computer animation, they do these things and they can animate animals and they look cute and they look fun. But then when they try to make a human, something always just looks wrong with it. And it's always disturbing because it's not quite human. And what could be more disturbing than an angel that was made in perfection, that was made to glorify God, and then there's this distortion, this perversion, where it's made into something that rebels and hates everything good and beautiful and would destroy God if it could, and would destroy all mankind if it could. You see, as we talk about Satan, as we talk about the actual enemy of your souls, Scripture tells us here that when you hold on to anger and bitterness, you give the devil a foothold. You give the enemy of your soul a foothold in your life. Those of you who have ever done anything like playing football and you've had to clash and run and hit into each other, you know what a blessing that good spikes are, good cleats are, as a person's coming against you. But if the ground's wet, the ground's slippery, and you lose your footing, you go down. But if someone gets a foothold against you when you don't have a foothold, you're mowed down. Scripture here says, when you hold on to bitterness, you give the enemy of your soul a foothold in your life. I'm going to call upon you to remember also that it's not simply your life where you're giving the devil a foothold. You're giving the devil a foothold in your family, to the ones that you are supposed to love most. You're giving the devil a foothold in your church, members of your own body. You're giving the devil a foothold in the very bride of Christ. How much should we be throwing off the old man? How much should we be throwing off all bitterness and the rights that we would say that we have to judge and to hate? But we must turn it over to Christ. We turn it over to God. We get in line behind the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and then you're fourth. And by the time He's done with them, there'll be nothing left for you to worry about. So let go of your bitterness, your wrath, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Next, look with me at verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. This word edification, for a long time I had no idea what it meant. The first time I was exposed to any version of it, I was riding with this guy in Boy Scouts. I was a boy, he was a leader, and he was driving along, and he said to the person who was driving, "Pull over there, up next to the edifice." And I said, "What is an edifice?" He said, "It's a building." And I said, "Oh." And I wondered, why didn't he simply say building? Now, we look at this word, according to the need of the moment, that is a word that is good for edification, a word that is good for building people up. Now, this wouldn't be something empty. This wouldn't be something fluffy. But building them up and the things that are really good, things that are really true, the things that really matter. As we look around and we would see that we would have these opportunities to do this, to love people in this way, it is remarkable the difference that words can make in someone's life. I remember a few key times in my life, looking back, I remember a few key times from high school where people built me up. They looked at something I was doing and they encouraged it and they strengthened it. It's over 20 years ago, and I'm sure some of you can remember back further than that, some good thing that had been said to you that made a difference in your life. Well, think of the beauty that we would have in our midst. If we would look at people and see the good things that they are doing and encourage them in those things. Part of the way that we do this is we take a moment to choose our words. To choose the things that we will talk about. To choose the things that we will say. And something like this takes practice. And many of us have come from backgrounds where it was the habit to tear people down. To shred people for fun, to make people feel small. And sometimes we would even do it with a little chuckle at the end so that we could pretend that we were kidding about it. But really deep down we're thinking, boy, I just got him. I grew up in an era where sitcoms were the things, these little half-hour TV shows. And through watching that, I had gotten the impression that everyone around me existed for me to make fun of them. Tear them up with my wit, to tear them up with my humor, especially brothers and sisters. I got the impression from those shows that parents were stupid and weren't worth listening to, that fathers were dopes. And that's what the culture has been promoting. What is made funny? What is funny on television? People being torn down verbally. But here it says, you're to let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Nothing that's going to tear down for your own edification. Nothing that's going to make someone else feel small so that you feel big. And really, that's what it's about. Every time you cut someone, every time you point out someone else's weakness, point out how small they are or how unintelligent they are, even with a chuckle on the end, maybe even especially with a chuckle on the end, so that you're acting like you're laughing or it's a joke, but it's not. You're simply puffing yourself up You're simply glorifying yourself to make yourself look big and strong or smart. And there is no place for it in the church. Only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Again, let's read verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So we're to say things that will move people towards Christ. What could be better? What could be better in any of your conversation than something that would move someone closer to Christ? As you are a people created to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, what could be better in any conversation than to point people to Christ? We talk often and we sing often about glorifying God. And what is it to glorify God? I'm going to say a key aspect of it in our conversation is to spread Christ's fame. Spread Christ's fame. We go through the checkout counter at stores and we see all these articles and headlines about things that this person did that and this person did that, and often it's dark and it's seedy. People have a heart to spread things, usually dark things, but your heart must be changed in order to spread light and spread truth. To proclaim the good things that Christ has done. To proclaim the good things that He's doing. And what is there? What is there that you have to talk about that would move people towards Christ? We have just had the blessing of Sandy's mother being saved. That is huge. That is one of God's marvelous works. That is God taking someone's heart of stone and giving them a heart of flesh. That is someone being transferred from the dominion of darkness to the dominion of light. And you have the opportunity to tell everyone about that. Everyone and anyone about that. You could say, hey, listen, there's this lady in our church, her elderly mother, God just saved her. God just saved her. And unpack everything that that means, and it's every opportunity to spread the gospel. And as many of us lack hope, as we have seen loved ones with hard hearts for some time, how will that encourage each of us to see that God is still working and God is still moving and there's no one too old for God to save? There is so much that we can proclaim and so much that we can say that will move people closer to Christ. There was a time when I was first saved and I had been reading the Word and it was just coming alive again and again and again. It was like every time I turned a page, a brighter light shone in my face, and I was being so moved. And I remember sitting at the lunch table at the place where I worked, and I knew that I should tell them. To tell them some of the things that God had said. And finally I sat there and we're eating our pizza, and I remember saying, hey, could I share with you guys some of the stuff that God has said in His Word? It's just been fantastic. And they shrugged and said, sure. And I remember sitting there with my Bible, just turning the page, and look at this. There's, wow. And look at this. And they said, wow. You have the very words of life. The very words of life. And you have been given the calling to share those things. Keep track of what you read. The things that make you say, wow, go and tell people about it. To move people closer to Christ. And we throw off all the unedifying things that we've said. So say the things that will move people to your Savior. Now next, this one is less pleasant, but equally important. Say the things that will help people throw off their sins. Say the things that will help people throw off their sins. Romans 12:9 says, love must be sincere, hating what is evil, but clinging to what is good. If your love is sincere, if your love is without hypocrisy, there's another way that the same verse is translated. If your love is without hypocrisy, your love for your co-workers, your love for your parents, your love for your children, your love for your brothers, your sisters, your love for your friends, you will hate anything that would harm them. If not, your love is in hypocrisy. Your love is insincere. Your fellow students, your fellow co-workers, your brothers, your sisters, if they are sinning, you have to hate their sin. The edifying words that you will say that bring grace to the moment will actually be pointing out their activities as crimes against God and pointing to Jesus Christ as the answer for their crimes. This is who we are to be. This is putting off the old man. This is putting on the new man. This is being Christ-like. Anything less is following Satan. Anything else is walking in futility. Anything else is hypocrisy. But you are a people who have been renewed and are being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Are we there yet? We are not. Are we close? We are not. Are you closer? Are you closer? Are you closer than you were a year ago, 2 years ago? But let's not leave it there. Let's get closer together. Let's be closer today than we were yesterday. Let's be closer tomorrow than we were today. And let's spur one another on in this, moving each other through Christ as we announce everything that is edifying, challenging one another, loving one another, being respectfully critical of one another, so that Christ will be glorified as we love each other rightly. Let's pray. Lord, our Lord, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your patience. Father, do move in us. Make us who we're supposed to be, so that you will be glorified, so that we will love rightly, doing the things that you love, loving the things you love, and hating the things that you hate, for you and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.